turn to the book of the Revelation. Book of the Revelation, chapter 1. So what is our context? Our context is actually Galatians. That's where we started last night, right? So we started in Galatians and we ended up Galatians 1:12. Paul says, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." And that's where we jumped off into the book of the Revelation, was Paul's revelation. Actually, it's Christ's revelation within Paul. So last night we looked at the revelation, the revealing, the apocalypse, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. We saw that He is indeed a God who hides Himself with the intention of revealing Himself. And that He brings forth the manifestation of the kingdom out of what begins obscured in darkness. In other words, a womb, a dark place, a dark place. God brings forth the light, the manifestation of the kingdom out of that dark place, out of that womb, so that the tomb really becomes a womb to birth a holy thing, just like with Mary. So Revelation 1:5. That's where we're going to take off here. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn." Firstborn. Firstborn of the dead. Now, how many of you know that if there's only one, you don't call it a firstborn, do you? No. A firstborn implies a secondborn and a thirdborn and a fourthborn and more to come. So he says he's the firstborn of the dead. Now, what is that? Firstborn of the dead. Well, I thought he was all about life. Well, he is. But see, the only way that you can have the life that he offers, which is resurrection life, is first, there has to be a death. So the firstborn of the dead, Galatians 2:20, keep your finger there. What's Paul say? Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." The only way you can walk in resurrection life is something got to die first. So that's why he says he's the firstborn of the dead. Firstborn of the dead. What was it that had to die on the Christ, on the cross? It was what? It was the soulish life. Isaiah says his soul was poured out as an offering for sin. We looked at this a little bit yesterday about the nephesh in the Hebrew, the word nephesh. That's the soulish life. That's the life that's in animals. It's the life in everything. It's the life that was in Adam. It's the nephesh life. That's the life that had to die in order that God might release the Zoe life, which is the God life. So He is the firstborn from the dead, but the good news is that He ain't going to leave you dead. See, I've heard it said, the devil's out to kill you, and so is God. Choose wisely. Because if the devil kills you, he ain't going to resurrect you. But if God kills you, he will resurrect you into brand new resurrection life. So he says he's the firstborn of the dead. Colossians 3:3. Go to Colossians 3:3. Colossians 3 and verse 3. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died, for you are dead, and your new real life is hid with Christ in God. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So when he says the firstborn of the dead, he's talking about us. For you are dead. Now, you might have to remind yourself of that on a daily basis. Especially if you have teenagers that live in your house that know how to push your buttons. Or other people that God sends in your way that know how to push your buttons, that know how to just irritate you. You might have to remind yourself, for I am dead, even though my flesh feels very much alive and would like to wring this person's lousy neck, I am dead. I'm dead. It's like in the book of Thessalonians when the man of sin is about to be revealed and the Lord Jesus must slay him with the breath of his lips. Well, where's the Lord Jesus? He's on the inside of me. And whose lips is he going to? It's going to be, it's got to come out of my mouth. That old man's dead. I don't have to act like this. Now, where were we? We were just somewhere. Was it yesterday or was it the day before? And we touched up against that verse that said, for it's appointed a man wants to die. And then where is that? Who knows where that is? Who's got that? For it's appointed a man wants to die. No, wants to die and then the judgment. It's the New Testament. Is that the book of Hebrews? We've been in Hebrews. Where were we? We were about, we've been in kind of wandering around Hebrews. Oh, where is it? 9. Ah. Okay. Papa. So go to verse 26. For then he would often have had to suffer over and over again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, as it now is, he has once for all, at the consummation and close of the ages, appeared to put away and abolish sin by his sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for all men once to die, and after that, the judgment. So what if we are the firstborn of the dead? See, I always looked at that verse, and maybe my interpretation is wrong. Maybe your interpretation is wrong. I don't know. You've been wrong before, so. I always looked at that verse, hallelujah, someday I'll die, and then the judgment. And then one day I actually read my Bible and Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live yet, not I, but Christ lives in me. And then I read another place where it says, but you are dead and your life is hid with Christ. And then I begin to realize that I died when he died because Romans 6:6 says, don't you know your old nature was, past tense, nailed to the cross with him. And suddenly it began to dawn on me that maybe I'm already dead. For it's appointed a man wants to die. Well, then why am I dying daily if I'm once to die? When Paul said, I die daily, he was being literal. He was talking about the message he had in the culture he lived in. He faced death on a daily basis because the culture he lived in. You know, if we didn't live in America, we would face death on a daily basis. Paul wasn't into this thing, oh, I'm dying to myself once again. No, the Bible says you're dead. It's appointed a man once to die. And then, the judgment. Am I under judgment? Absolutely. That is exactly what's happening in my life right now. Because New Testament judgment isn't doesn't mean that God's mad at me and going to get even. Jesus said, for judgment am I come into this world. That word judgment in the Greek, it means to separate. His judgment in my life isn't that he's mad at me and going to get even because I'm a jerk. No, that's not. That's Old Testament. That's Old Covenant. God's not mad at me anymore. His judgment in my life now is to separate out all that which is originating from carnality. Because the wages of sin is death. And God doesn't like death. So what he wants to do is separate out. It's appointed a man wants to die. I died when he died. And now this process of his separation, his judgment, separating out. And the way he does it is Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God, the engrafted living Word, the Rhema Word, the Word of God is alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of that which is of the soul and that which is of the spirit. And the best way he does it is he sends people across my path that know how to push my buttons and bring things out of me that I like to keep squashed down because I'm a civil human being. But when he gets an obstinate teenager in front of me that won't listen and stuff like that, suddenly that stuff that I'd like to keep squashed down, it rises to the surface so that he can deal with it.
Amen.
And it's appointed me once to die, and that's when I have to remind myself I'm dead. And dead men don't kill people. I'm dead, and now I'm in the process of separation. And God is separating the good stuff from the bad stuff. He is in this process of separating the good stuff from the bad stuff. It's kind of like, you know, you're a microcosm of the world. God's in the process of separating the bad stuff from the good stuff. Now, what's he do with the bad stuff? He gathers up the tares and they're taken off and burned, right? And that's what he's doing in my life. Is he, right now, I can see there's some tares and some wheat growing together. But he's in this process of gathering some of those tares into bundles and he's taking them off and he's burning them up, isn't he? So, the firstborn of the dead. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. Verse 27, Hebrews 9:27. Just as it is appointed for all men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Even so it is. See, we can't separate these two verses. They go together. Because there's just a little comma there. Okay? Now that wasn't in the original text. But it's within keeping with the thought here. Even so what? The context, it's appointed men once to die and then the judgment. Even so it is that Christ, having offered to take upon himself and bear as a burden the sins of many, once and once for all, will appear a second time, not carrying, and I like the way the Amplified says this, not carrying any burden of sin, nor to deal with sin. So his appearing the second time isn't to deal with sin. Where? Let's look at this first. Where is he appearing this time? Ah, yes. Now I'm old-fashioned. I believe that there's going to be a final appearing of Christ. He will return to the earth, physical form. That's just the way I believe. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm not. But that's the way I think about it. I know that there's a man in the heavens. His body did not see corruption. So somehow there's a physical man in the heavenlies. How it works for him to return, I don't know. I don't have that part figured out. I'm not that smart. But I know that his appearing right now is he's appearing in you and I. That's the parousia. That's his appearing in a people. Totally separate from his physical appearing, which is most of Christianity, is looking towards that appearing. Well, when that appearing happens, then it's all over and it's too late for anything. The appearing that I'm concerned with now is his appearing in us, so that every eye will see him in a people. So, he will appear a second time, not carrying any burden of sin. Well, what do you mean? why isn't His appearing in me right now to deal with sin? Because He already dealt with it. He already dealt with it at the cross. His appearing in me is not to deal with my sin, because He already dealt with my sin and my sin nature and my future sins and my past sins and anything that has to do with sin. It was already dealt with at the cross. And His appearing in me now is to remind me that, oh yes, that's already been taken care of. It's a done deal. It's a past tense. See, like Kelly Varner said the other day, most of us are futurists. We like to put everything off into the future. And we serve a now God. I hate that postponing spirit. Oh yes, I see the revelation, Doug. And yes, someday I'll watch. No! Now! Right here. Right now. I can enter into the fact of His finished work that happened, because the works were finished from the foundation of the earth. Hebrews 4 says, there remains therefore a rest unto the people of God. When we rest in that, go there. Hebrews 4. We're on a roll and we're so far off the notes it doesn't matter anyway. Hebrews 4:1. Therefore, while the promise of entering rest, His rest still holds and is offered today. It's offered today. Verse 9. So then there is still awaiting a full and complete sabbatismos. That's the word there. A full and complete sabbatismos. That sabbatismos, the word sabbatismos, you know what it means? It doesn't have anything to do with a particular day of the week. It has to do with being completely consecrated unto Him. 100% completely consecrated to Him. Now if you back up into verse 3, it says, oh, for we who have believed do enter into that rest. As He swore in His wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And this He said, although, get this, although His works had been finished from the foundation of the world. God finished this thing before He ever even began it. His work in you was finished before it ever began. Well, I can't fathom that, Doug. I don't care. That's the way it is. It's finished before it began. Doesn't matter whether you and I can understand it or conceive it at all. That doesn't matter. We just have to know His work is finished. What did grace mean? Remember we talked about it last night? Grace meant that God started this thing and He'll finish it. He'll finish it because He's already finished it. Now it's just working out in our everyday life. See, if I'm going into battle with the idea, well, gosh, I don't know who's going to win and who's going to lose. You know what's going to, I'm going to get my tail whooped. I am in for a big hurting. But if I go into the battle understanding the battle is already won, all I have to do is stand in certain victory that has already happened. Now, I might have some ups and downs in this battle. I'll grant you that. But I know that the battle is already won. And I am simply going to enforce the victory that was already won on the cross. For ye are dead. It's a finished work. We've got to rest. There remains, therefore, this rest. Verse 10. For he who has entered into his rest has also ceased from his human labors. So I can cease from my human labors and understand that I am dead. It's a finished work. And He's the firstborn from the dead. So therefore, I must be a second, third, fourth, fifth, whatever, 2,357, He's the firstborn. Firstborn from the dead. Revelation 1:6. Revelation 1:6. Firstborn of the dead. Prince of the kings of the earth. Well, who are these kings of the earth? Hello? Look around. You be it. You be the kings of the earth. To him who ever loves us has once for all loosed and freed us from our sins by his own blood, verse 6, and formed us into a kingdom, a royal race, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory, the power, majesty, the dominion throughout the ages forever and ever. Amen. So be it. He formed us into a kingdom, into a royal priesthood. When did he do that? He did that from the foundation of the earth when the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the earth. He birthed, if you will, a kingdom of priests after the order of Melchizedek. And that's what he's bringing forth in the earth today. And he started it, and he's going to finish it. And to him be the glory, the power, the majesty, the dominion throughout the ages and forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Verse 7, lo, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. And you are the clouds, and you're the way that God's going to see, or that every eye is going to see him. It's all for you and I. And that's all I'm going to say.